Hello and welcome to the Toras Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlean and today we will be studying Shmuel Bey's Perek Gimel. So the Perek opens with describing the rivalry that continued between Beis Shaul and Beis David. We had the last Perek that described the death of Asael at the hands of Avner. And the Pasuk Aleph, Vatehi ha-melchama aruka bein Beis Shaul ubein Beis David, v'David holech v'chazek, ubeis Shaul holchim v'dalim. The milchama was very, very long between the house of Shaul and the house of David, and the house of David continuously grew stronger, and the house of Shaul continuously grew weaker. Now, although the Pasuk uses the word milchama, it does not seem to imply a physical war with actual battles. Rather, it implies that there was a conflict that continued, with David's side continuously growing stronger, and with Beis Shaul under the rulership of Ishbosheth continuously weakened, because it seems that people were gravitating towards David. The Navi continues to tell us about David's children who were born in Hebron. We have Amnon, his oldest son, who we will meet later in the Sefer, was born to Ahinoam HaYisraelis. The second son is Kilav, born to Abigail. Now Kilav, it seems his main name or his given name was Daniel, as it is stated in Sefer Divrei HaYamim, but he is called Kilav, according to Chazal, because he looked exactly like David, Kulo Av. And this was in order to negate the claims that he was not actually David's son, but really the son of Naval, Abigail's first husband. So to negate these claims, Hashgacha had it that he resembled his father David, so that there would be no question as to the paternity of this son. Another idea that the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us is that he was one of the people listed as having never sinned. That's Kilav. The third son was Avshalom, the son of Macha. The fourth and fifth son, respectively, were Adoniyahu ben Chagit and Shvatya ben Avital. And then the sixth son was Yisra'am, Bas Egla, Eshes David. Egla, Eshes David is referring to Michal, according to Chazal. And she is referred to as Egla as a term of endearment, because Egla means calf. So this was a term of endearment for Michal, his first wife. Indeed, she really is the only one in this list who is referred to as Eshes David. According to Radak, Egla is not Michal, but is just the name of another wife. Pasuk Vav tells us who Avner was and that he really was the power behind the throne. Pasuk Vav. Vayhi b'yos ha-milchama bein Beis Shaul ubein Beis David, va'Avner haya mischazek b'Beis Shaul. Avner was getting stronger in the house of Shaul. He was the power behind the throne. He attempted to strengthen Ishbosheth's position as king. And this is significant because of the argument that he has with Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth accuses Avner of taking Shaul's pilegesh, his father's pilegesh, Ritzpah Bas Aya, and Avner becomes incensed at the accusation. By the way, it's really not clear from the psukim whether or not this accusation is correct or not. But the accusation is significant because it is prohibited for a hedyot, a commoner, non-royalty, to use any possessions belonging to the king. It is prohibited for a hedyot to marry the widow, the widowed wife or pilegesh of the king. So therefore, when Ishbosheth is accusing Avner of taking Ritzpah Bas Aya, what he's saying is this was an act of rebellion that you did. Now, the Malbim maintains that Avner probably did take Ritzpah, implying that he was wielding too much power over the throne of Ishbosheth, as we just read in this pasuk, that Avner haya mischazek beveis Shaul. So the fact that he took the liberty of taking Ritzpah Bas Aya, somebody who was prohibited for non-royalty to take, displayed in Ishbosheth's mind that Avner was taking too much power as he took somebody that was not due him. Pasuk Ches describes the very distressed and angry response by Avner to Ishbosheth. He was absolutely incensed that he accused him of this. Pasuk Ches, Vayichar la'Avner ma'od al divrei Ishbosheth. He was very, very angry. Avner was very upset about the words of Ishbosheth. Vayomer, and he said to him, Harosh kelev anochi, asher la'Yehuda, hayom esech chesed in Beis Shaul avicha, El Echav ve'el Mere'ehu ve'lo himtzi sicha biyad David. Vatifkod alai avon ha'isha hayom. This is a very difficult pasuk. There's a number of ways to understand this. But the gist is that Avner was saying to him, Harosh kelev anochi, are you treating me like I am the head dog warden, that you speak to me this way? Should I continue to do chesed with the house of Shaul, your father, and his kinsmen, and not hand you over to David, that you come and accuse me of this? Another way of looking at this is that he's saying, I'd rather be a dog in the house of David, meaning a commoner, than be a leader for you, Ishbosheth. I have built you up and strengthened you, and this is how you repay my kindness. So Avner sees this as a sign that it is time to switch allegiances to David's side. Recall that he honestly felt that another descendant of Binyamin from Beis Shaul needs to be king. But now he feels now is the time to switch sides. If Ishbosheth is accusing him of usurping power, then now he looks at this and says, you know what, this kingdom is not stable. There's not going to be future stability. If he's accusing me of usurping his power, that means that he probably does not feel very secure in his position as king, and perhaps now is the time to switch allegiances. Obviously, if Avner was the power behind the throne of Ishbosheth, then his leaving Ishbosheth would by definition spell the decline of the rule of Ishbosheth, which had been declining as it is. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'lo yachol od lahashiv es Avner davar miyiraso oso. When he heard this retort from Avner, Ishbosheth was speechless. He could not respond to him because he was afraid of him, which tells us that the hold of Ishbosheth on the Melucha was very tenuous. So Avner then sends word to David that he wants to come over to his side and try to garner support from Bnei Israel as well. Now, even though Avner had supported Ishbosheth this entire time, this didn't contradict Avner's belief that David should be king at some point. In Avner's mind, it was just a question of when David should be king. And here, this juncture is when Avner decides that it's probably appropriate now that David should be king. So Avner sends word to David that he wants to switch allegiances. He wants to make a treaty with him. And David responds that his condition for meeting with Avner is that he facilitate the return of Michal bas Shaul, his first wife, back to him. Shaul had taken Michal away from David, and he claimed that their marriage was not actually halachically valid based on a technicality. Shaul, wanting to break off all ties with David because he was paranoid that David was taking over the throne, had brought Michal to this man, Palti ben Laish, to be his wife. Now, David wants her returned. Shaul's removal of Michal was one method that Shaul figured he could use in order to avoid David taking away the throne from him. David being married to the royal daughter, to Michal, would only strengthen his claim to Shaul's throne. Therefore, he tries to annul the marriage. Now we have David wants to solidify his kingdom. He wants Michal back. So number one, he felt that halachically, she indeed was legally married to him. And number two, remember, he wants a peaceful transition of leadership. Therefore, his taking Michal back is demonstrating to the Beis Shaul that he has a vested interest in the house of Shaul. So we have two royal families marrying. Now, of course, there are questions that abound, such as how could Michal, who was technically an Eishes Ish, go to Palti ben Laish? So the answer seems to be that she was anusa, she was forced and she had no choice. And the second question, the big questions revolve around if she indeed lived with Palti, how could David have taken her back halachically, because it's forbidden to take back a woman that was with another man. It's forbidden to take back your wife that was with another man. So this forum is clearly not adequate to go into an entire discussion. But the key point is that Chazal make is that Palti, who is referenced in the Psukim in our Perek as Paltiel instead of Palti with Shem Hashem, added, did not have relations with Michal, and he is actually regarded to be greater than Boaz and Yosef HaTzadik in his restraint. So Palti does return Michal to David, and after which Avner and David make a peace treaty. They all sit down, both sides, to a feast, to a seuda, celebrating their peace treaty, after which Avner leaves. Now, when Yoav hears that David is forging an alliance with Avner, he is not very happy because he views Avner's peace overtures with a lot of suspicion. And he therefore warns David that he means to harm him. Don't enter into such an agreement with Avner. The only reason he's making this agreement with you, he has designs to be a spy. He's going to hurt you. Don't trust him. Now, of course, Yoav ostensibly really could not be objective because he harbored a tremendous resentment towards Avner because he had killed his brother Asael. Therefore, it's not very surprising what happens next. So Avner leaves the company of David, and Yoav summons Avner back to Hebron. Chav Zayin, Vayashav Avner Hebron, Vayatehu Yoav el Tocha Sha'ar Ledaber Ito Basheli. Avner goes back to Hebron, and then Yoav catches up to him and calls his attention by the gate to speak to him privately. Now, Chazal look at this word Basheli. It's a very interesting word. Basically, it's insinuating that he used subterfuge to get his attention and to engage him in a conversation. Vayakehu Sham Hachomesh Vayamas Bidam Asael Echav. And at that point, as Chazal tell us, that he asked him a question relating to how one goes about chalitza in a particular situation. And he put him in a position where Avner had to bend down and show him physically the answer to the question, at which point he was not on his guard. And then Yoav kills him in his fifth rib, obviously the same place, the Chomesh is the same place which his brother Asael was struck. And that was the death of Avner at the hands of Yoav. Now the Pasuk tells us, Avayateu Yoav el toch ha-sha'ar, Yoav brought him to the Sha'ar, and Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, says that this Lashon of Sha'ar is a Lashon of Beis Din. And that means that what Yoav was doing is that he was bringing a claim to Avner in Beis Din, saying he viewed himself as a halachic goel hadam. He says that I'm a relative of a murder victim. I'm the brother of Asael, who was murdered at the hands of Avner. And therefore, I am halachically allowed to kill the murderer, namely Avner, for this act. Now, this was a suffix, actually, that was never resolved in Beis Din. Avner claiming that his killing Asael was in self-defense. I had no choice. It wasn't like it was a premeditated murder. Yoav claiming in response that Avner could have merely wounded Asael. Avner claiming that it was impossible to just wound him in the heat of the moment. There was no other choice. Therefore, Yoav's claim that he was the legal Goel Hadam was very debatable. But in his mind, he felt that he had every right to kill Avner for the death of his brother. David hears of Avner's death and declares publicly that he had nothing to do with his death. Pasuk Chaf Ches, Vayishma David me'acharechein, Vayomer naki anochi umamlachti me'im Hashem ad olam midmei Avner benner. He says, I am innocent, me and my kingdom, from before Hashem, from the blood of Avner benner. I had absolutely nothing to do with his death. After which he curses Yoav and his descendants with illness and sickness. David then orders everybody to tear their clothing and eulogize Avner. They bury him in Hebron, and David says a kina over Avner. Avner, the vehicle through which peace and a unified nation was to come about, was killed. Now there was a real threat that things would unravel with his murder. However, when the people see David's genuine mourning over Avner's loss, they realize that David was not complicit in this act. Pasuk Lamed Vav, V'chol ha'am hikiru v'yitav be'eneihem, k'chol asher asa ha'melech be'enei kol ha'am tov. The entire nation recognized, and it was good in their eyes. Everything that the king did was good in their eyes. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, v'yid'u kol ha'am v'chol Yisrael b'yomahu, ki lo ha'yisam me'hamelech l'hamis es Avner b'ner. The entire nation knew, all of Israel knew, that the king was not involved in the killing of Avner b'ner. Notice how the Navi is using the term Melech twice. The people unilaterally accept David as king. Now, David is in complete disagreement with Yov's act of killing Avner and seems to be in a quandary, because as a king, he can exercise his right to put to death a Morid B'Malchus, a rebel against the king, which Yov seems to be. However, David tells his inner circle that despite the fact that this great warrior and a great person of spiritual stature as well has died, I cannot do anything about it right now. He says, in Pasuk Lamates, the last Pasuk of our parak, Va'anochi hayom rach u'mashuach melech va'anashim ha'ela b'nei tzruya kashim mimeni yishalem Hashem la'osei hara'a kira'aso. He says, I am only recently anointed, and the sons of Tzruya, Avishai and Yoav, Avishai apparently was complicit in this act as well, are stronger than me, they're tougher than me, but Hashem should pay them back for the evil that they have done. What he says is, it's premature for me to punish them now, because what it would do is it would bring more instability to my very new reign. But he wants justice to be served bidei shamayim. Now, incidentally, if we fast forward to the end of David's life, at the beginning of Sefer Melachim, David in fact commands Shlomo, who is the next king, to put Yoav to death for the act of killing Avner. Now, in conclusion, Avner, in the eyes of Chazal, was culpable for a number of things which brought about his death. One of those things was his being Shaul's right-hand man, and even when seeing clearly how David spared Shaul's life on two occasions, resisted pointing this out to Shaul, thus prolonging the division between Shaul and David. In our parak, Avner realizes the error in his judgment and was ready to do an about-face and go on a campaign of convincing the nation to rally behind David. But unfortunately, he was killed before he had a chance to do so. But ironically, as a consequence of his death and David's display of genuine regret over his death, the people begin a process of supporting David. What Avner could not accomplish in life, he accomplished in death. Perhaps this is a call to us to do everything in our power to see situations with as much clarity and intellectual honesty as possible, and to try to reach our potential in serving God during our living and waking moments. As David himself reminds us in Tehillim Kuf Mem Vav, Ahalala Hashem b'chayai, azamra lelokai be'odi, I praise Hashem while I am still alive, I sing to my God while I still exist. Thank you for learning together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.